two.
And a very good Thursday afternoon to you, folks. Thank you so much for listening. Yes, Adam Lepp is in your newsroom, in your weather center, and he is in the studio, hopefully in your ear, with the volume turned up nice and loud on your virtual listening device, because for the next 49 minutes or so, your brain cells are going to give you a big pat on the back. We have a great show, entertaining. You know, it's not possible for me to be on the air for more than 12 seconds without eliciting a giggle or two. And you're going to learn something. In fact, I've even had a pre-discussion with my guest because I was a little early today versus most weeks when I'm a little late. Of course, that even with the traffic tie-ups, I allowed a little extra time because, sure enough, I had to go a bit circuitously, but that's okay. Anyway, I had pre-discussion with my guest, who is a walking encyclopedia on flora and fauna and other stuff. He's going to talk about a show and tell, which he brought in today, and a couple other things. And we are taking your phone calls. That's one of the most important parts of this show. If you have a question, comment, complaint, suggestion, delineation, or some other reason why you'd like to call, even if it's just to say, hi, Adam, how are you doing? Hope you have a splendid October. That's cool also. My guest is Mr. James Anderson. Okay, we had to delay the show by an hour because it's worth the wait. Or maybe I'm in a time warp and I'm in Nova Scotia or Puerto Rico or somewhere where it's an hour earlier. But whatever the case is, it is well worth the wait. We played an encore of my program with Dr. Ronald Feynman. Hopefully you enjoyed it. We'll have a new version of the show with him probably on Monday. But today, Mr. James Anderson joins me for his monthly visit to South Prospect Street, WWGH Online Talk Radio, to talk about flora and fauna, the change of the seasons, and all that other fine stuffy-wuffy. James, how are you on this nice fall-like Thursday afternoon?
Oh, I am just wonderful.
I would think as a naturalist, you enjoy the change of seasons. We've talked about how if you live in many southern climates, yes, it's nice to be in San Diego where it's summer every day and you can go to the beach and wear your shorts and other summer garb, but you kind of get tired of it. Here in Ohio, we not only have four seasons, during transition months like October or May, it could be summer, winter, spring, and fall, all in the same week. And I get the feeling we're probably going to have that a lot in October. We're already seeing it in September. There was almost frost-level temperatures in Chillicothe and other parts of southern Ohio, 37. Wow. Of course, you might say, in school, you know, you're much younger than I am, James. You remember in school, well, you go south, at least in the northern hemisphere, and it gets warmer. But it seems like if you looked at the weather readings, Cincinnati and Chillicothe were actually in the upper 30s. Columbus and points north and were in the 40s, still cold, but not as cold. And Akron, Chicago, they were above 50. So the mountains, the being in the valley, being by water, that all has an influence on the temperature. And that's part of the fun of Ohio, James, is the microclimatic differences and how that affects what we see in terms of plants and animals. Absolutely. Besides, of course, Homo sapiens, when we venture outside. We talked about the snakes and geographically where they're located, and it wouldn't necessarily follow where you might think, as snakes are cold-blooded, so they like to be around warmer environs. But with this kind of weather, James, are you seeing maybe a different pattern? You know, we talk about the climate change, and again, we have a big hurricane in Florida, and we're in hurricane season. Have you seen in your life maybe a difference in how weather changes based on the seasons, or is it just the fact that we're in the Midwest and you open up your drapes every morning and you can get a surprise? Again, you know, October, November, you can have snow one day and 75 the next.
That's true.
That's just kind of a fact of life here in the Midwest.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think you're like me. You enjoy the variety of weather.
Yes.
It's nice, you know, okay, go to San Diego in January and go to the beach, but you don't mind going humming home and it's 25 degrees and you got some snow or sleet, but the next day it's 40 and the snow melts. And me, I don't really mind shoveling snow anyway. It's the leaves I don't like, and we're getting to leaf season, so that isn't a house chore that I enjoy, but I don't mind snow, and it's good exercise, and it's always a contest to make sure your driveway and sidewalk looks the best on the block.
Well, actually, I want to mention one thing while you say we're in the leaf season and you say you're not a big fan of it. Actually, don't do it, because that leaf litter is vital habitat for a lot of our insects and amphibians and some reptiles. And when you're destroying that leaf litter, you're destroying them. So like lightning bugs, moths, and butterflies. So I know a lot of people put them in giant piles, which is fine, which I do. But what's bad is when we bag them up, or we burn them, or let the city or village come by and suck all the leaves up. You're destroying their population. So if you want to protect them, there's a campaign going around. It's called Leave the Leaves.
Right. It kind of depends, too, on where you live. I mean, in a suburban-type neighborhood, I have a silver maple, and they just go crazy with the shedding for 2 weeks. Normally, it's right after Halloween. And they don't really produce the most attractive foliage. So if you let them pile up, I mean, you're talking a couple inches high worth of leaves. So it's a little different. But the smaller leaves, yeah, I let those fall. Even some of the trees I have started turning and falling. And yeah, I'll wait. And I normally prefer to mow, too. And you can mulch it and mulch it into the lawn. And that does kind of protect it for the winter, from what I understand.
Yeah.
And it is more of a green choice. So is that the law enforcement over there coming to arrest me for
sounds like it.
For raking?
Maybe for raking, yeah.
It's the raking police.
They'll leave the leaves.
Yep. Laughter's always the best medicine. So, James, we appreciate you being with us.
Yes, anytime.
Had a busy few days, and not unexpectedly, with the change of the seasons. We were just talking initially, because I was kind of fascinated by geographical differences. And you've been as far south as Dominican Republic, and you've been to Canada, and you've been to points east. But you've never been in the central time zone. You've never been past Indianapolis.
I have not, no.
Are you curious about, California, even St. Louis? Nashville, southwest Chicago?
Yeah. I mean, I would love to travel, to like Yellowstone. Yellowstone's on my bucket list.
Yeah, I would think anywhere in the Rocky Mountains. I mean, anything that would allow a naturalist to learn. I mean, every day you wake up is a learning experience.
Absolutely.
You don't stop going to school. You walk out your front door and you see something.
Absolutely.
So it's just a case where you have a family, and just certainly things you have to prioritize.
Yes.
But in the future, yes, you might go to the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
Or see what's essentially like a rainforest in Seattle.
that would be interesting.
Rockies, or the cactus, cacti, and in Arizona or New Mexico, and report back.
Yeah.
Because I would be fascinated.
Well, we do have a cactus here in Ohio that's native, and actually is growing in Marion County that I found it. So
Marion County, with ample precipitation, a four-season climate, growing a desert plant.
Yep. It's called a prickly pear cactus. And it's designed to live up here. And it's interesting. It actually loses water content. And so during the wintertime, it prevents from completely freezing over. So that's one of their ways that they have co-evolved from living up here.
Yeah. So I think cacti. I think it's cacti.
Yeah, that's
that
fancy name.
Kind of cool anyway. And snakes. You know, we always talk about snakes.
Oh, yeah.
Because I challenge you to bring in a rattlesnake or something.
Oh, I don't know if I can do a rattlesnake.
So far, but, well, maybe something a little less harmful.
Okay, sounds good.
Anyway, but they adapt also to their where they're located.
Yes, yep.
Certainly, the desert rattlesnakes aren't going to be the same temperament or the same needs as the ones you might find in Ohio. And we do have, I think, timber rattlers here.
Yep.
And we have copperheads.
They're
not quite as bad as rattlesnakes.
And the eastern Mosaga.
Yeah, but they aren't quite as friendly as some other ones.
Yeah.
And, of course, we have frogs and toads. And
oh, yes.
And various kinds of lizards.
We do. We actually have a skink here. It's called a five-legged skink here in Marion.
A skink is kind of a cross between a snake and a lizard, from what I kind of see. The legs can vary. And also, I guess snakes also, some lay eggs, some
give live birth
to live young, which is kind of the opposite of what I learned in school, but I guess, the Easter Bunny lays eggs, right?
So, yeah. Well, we do have some mammals that do lay eggs.
Yeah, so it isn't really quite as cut and dry as they might have taught you, but it just makes things more interesting and allows for more questions from your people. And we're going to talk about that, James. You remind us also, we're talking to James Anderson, the official naturalist of Marion, WWGH, and many other places. Remind me, James, exactly, what is your official job title? And who who signed your paycheck, so to speak? Whom exactly do you work for?
I work for the Marion County Park District. I am the park naturalist, so the park district is what pays me. So basically the county, yes.
Okay. So if there are levies for the park district, folks, please vote for them. As the work of James and others, we need your help.
Yeah, our goal is in the future. So right now we don't have a levy, so but we're hoping one day.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, if there is one. But bottom line is yes. In all seriousness,
yes.
What James does makes us appreciate where we are. Marion, you know, it's rural enough where you can go out your front door and study the wildlife. You know, take a short drive,
yeah.
Or a tall grass trail, or what have you. But it's urban enough, you know.
Yeah.
You can go out for a beer or two. Just don't drive home, please. You can go to your favorite Walmart or other big box grocery store, visit one of the great mom and pop restaurants here, and that's what's cool about Marion, all with a very low cost of living.
Yeah.
So we have the ability to enjoy nature and see many of the things that folks in a larger city would. I can assure you, quite a bit lower cost. Now, how long have you had this position, James?
7 years.
7 years. Okay. And was there somebody who had this job who retired, or what was the person who did this before you?
Before me was actually a park director, and she basically retired. So they were looking for someone that was going to bring in programs and basically help promote the park district name, and they just thought the naturalist route was better than the park director route. I mean, the park director was very important because their job was utilizing the park and making sure that, you know, all the bills were paid and everything, but the naturalist's position was, you know, hey, let's get the name out there. Let's get into the community, because prior to that, we weren't really getting into the community.
Right. So that was more of an executive-type position, and you were a hands-on.
Yeah.
You don't want to sit at a desk.
No.
You'll sit at this desk, but
yes.
Just to talk to me, but then you're out of here.
Yes. Other than doing editing on my videos, that's about as much.
You're a get-your-hands-dirty
yes.
kind of a guy.
Yes.
Do you think, thanks to your help, and you know, we talked about your intern last time, and you have interns every summer.
Yes. Yeah.
This one was especially visible, but you have many great interns, and you'll have another one this next summer.
That's what we're hoping.
Has the position grown? Has the park district grown? And what, toot your own horn if you want to. But I mean, how has it grown under what you've done? And how has it changed and become more of a hands-on where you give these tours and people participate and learn about their area?
I think that probably the biggest thing is the whole awareness thing, because when I first started, hardly nobody knew who we were. And, of course, I love when I hear people say, I live 5 minutes away from Tallgrass or Terradice or Greensboro, Myers Woods, and I had no idea if they were there. And then I just, you know, like Tallgrass Trail, it was only 3.7 miles long. And then every year we kept going further and further. So I've seen Tallgrass Trail in its evolution from 3.7 to 12.4.
So the Tallgrass Trail has more than tripled.
Yeah.
With you around.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Now, I will admit, I was not the main person did that.
You didn't actually put the signs up and the path. But, I mean, certainly the fact that you made it available to people and you have these programs, there's more interest in it.
Yeah, Dan Sheridan, he's my boss. He's actually the pharmacist at the Marion General Hospital, and he's one of our volunteers, but he's the park chairman for the park district, and he's one that applied for the grants. And I tell people, yes, he didn't start the Marion Tallgrass Trail project, but he helped finish it. And he's a big bicyclist, and he travels all over. He actually just came back from Europe. He went to Ireland, Greenland, and England and did a bicycle tour.
That's kind of fascinating.
Yeah. Dan's a crazy machine. In 2019, he went from state of Washington to Washington, D.C. in about 2.5 months.
Did he stop at Washington Courthouse in Ohio? Probably. It's kind of on the way.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I know he did make a stop in Ohio because they did service projects along the way.
To go from one state to the other, you pretty much have to go through Ohio.
Yeah,
Make a detour, but... Okay, you know, a little wisecrack. That's par for the course here on the Adam, the Computer Guy, mid-morning, early afternoon, coffee break, radio broadcasting extravaganza. And we are taking your phone calls. You have a question, comment, complaint, question about the park district, about the flora and fauna, about the seasons, or you just want to say hi, Adam. Hope you're having a wonderful day. 740-383-9944. Those are the digits, and of course James will be happy to answer your questions, and the more we know, the more we can enjoy. I kind of hogged the microphone. That's not unusual for me, since my nickname is Windpipe. Last time, I didn't give you a chance to talk about all the events coming up
yeah.
for the rest of the month, not a lot left of September, but for October, November, and December. And also remind us, just because it's snowing or it's 10 degrees, does it mean that you don't have an excuse not to put your parka and cap and gloves on and come out and enjoy nature? So yeah. Tell us, too, I mean, is it maybe more interesting? We see the animals, you know, we don't have any polar bears, but
No. We
see the animals that might embrace the snow and kind of see how the other ones hibernate. And yeah, just go ahead and tell us about that stuff, and I promise no microphone hogging.
Oh, no, that's fine. During the wintertime, I'll admit, it is more quiet when it comes to wildlife, but, you know, there are some wildlife that do migrate down here during the wintertime, especially here on the western side of the county around Big Island. We're getting things like short-eared owls and northern harriers, which are from the Canada region. And I know you're wondering, well, why are they coming to Ohio? Why are they not going to places like the Carolinas or Florida? Well, those guys like it cold, but it's kind of too cold where they're from in Canada in the winter season, so that's why they come to Ohio, because it's just cold enough but not extremely cold for them. Of course, you know, trumpeter swans, tundra swans are coming through, and a lot of interesting birds. So if you're big into birds, I highly recommend checking out our
trumpeter
parks.
Are they Republicans? You know, I had to say that.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So no, they get it because they sound like a trumpet, and they go honk, 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 sound. So
they don't play golf. They're partisan, but they're just called trumpeters.
Yeah, trumpeter swans. Yep, and that's why they're the logo of Marion Tallgrass Trail, because during the wintertime, I mean, you'll see hundreds and hundreds of them across the lake.
Maybe that's why Marion County tends to vote Republican. We have trumpeters.
Is that trumpeter swans? So.
A wisecrack would be here, you know.
Yeah.
How could you possibly go even 5 minutes on an Adam show without a corny wisecrack?
That's true. That's
okay,
true.
I promise. I'll be quiet.
No, you're fine. You're fine. But, yeah, on the beavers, they're pretty active. So if you go, especially around the second bridge, around the lake, they'll be swimming around. Now, I will admit, when it's really cold, they may hunker down. They don't hibernate. They just are more quiet. And of course, I always tell people that, you know, if you're not a snake fan, yeah, the winter time is probably the best time to come out to the trail. I will admit right now, since we're at the end of September, it is getting cooler, so you have a greater chance of seeing our slithery friends, because the asphalt on the trail is still warm, but the snakes are taking advantage of that. So we just tell people, just always be cautious, and, you know, leave them alone, they'll leave you alone.
And those are 99% garter snakes.
Garters and brown snakes, yeah.
Right. We may see a copperhead or one of the rattlers, but there aren't too many. And again, we don't want to take any chances, and we want to respect the animals, but 99% chance it'll be the brown snake, a garter snake, or a snake that's a lot more afraid of you than you are of him or her.
Yeah. Now, I will admit, the northern part of the county, you do have a chance of seeing the pygmy rattlesnake or the eastern Mosaga. So right, if you're closer to the Killdeer Plains Wildlife Area, that's where the strongest concentration of them are in the state of Ohio.
The pygmy means small. So.
Small, yeah. They're about the size of a garter snake.
So they're like a foot or two, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And they're still dangerous.
Yeah, don't let the size fool you. They're mighty.
Yeah, they're like chihuahuas, small but mighty.
Yeah, as I tell you, chihuahuas are more likely to be dangerous, you know, than most pit bulls, unless you train them. They're very gentle, and you know, Great Danes are just a big baby. So you can't always tell with snakes, and you see people holding their enormous pythons, and I mean, you still have to be careful.
Oh, yeah. Always got to be cautious.
And I guess that's part of the deal with the rattlesnakes. Any snake camouflages. They're sneaky.
Yeah.
That's why we have the rather negative colloquial expression, someone is a snake, that's misleading.
Yeah.
But they're small doesn't mean that they can't pop the attitude. But in most cases, as I hear, even the rattlesnakes, they're shy. They don't want to be bothered.
No.
You know, admire them, but you know, don't become their best friend.
Yeah, yeah. And they just want to be left alone. I mean, the only reason why they're going to attack is because they feel threatened.
Not unlike many other animal kingdom members. But, of course, we don't have polar bears or other very cold weather type of creatures. But the owls, you said,
they
don't want to be in Texas where it's going to be hot, even in the summer. They like the cool atmosphere and the four seasons, but Canada's just a little too much.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm a four-season guy, but you know, living in northern Canada probably would be just a bit... But on the chilly side, so I understand. And we talked also, James, ironically, even though owls are always depicted as being smart, having big eyes, like they're wearing glasses, they're one of the dumbest birds.
Yes.
And so there really is a misunderstanding. That stereotype is actually very wrong.
Yes. It has to do with their eyes.
Right, and that hawks and crows, and we know that they hold a grudge, and you know they have their own kind of ways. They, not surprisingly, are some of the smartest birds. But birds in general aren't the smartest members of the animal kingdom. But some can fool you.
Yep, very true.
Okay, yeah, talk more about the seasons also. I digress, but
yeah.
Some of this is just kind of fascinating. And, you know, whenever I talk to you, I always learn something.
I keep
my mind open.
Well, that's why we're always here, the more you know, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, as the season's changing, you know, our leaves are actually starting to change. You probably might be driving, notice a tree or two. You know, you were talking about your silver maple, you know, and it's, you know, not the most prettiest during the fall foliage. It actually depends on what type of soil it is. Maples are really interesting. If they're really red, it actually will tell you that there is a lot of acid in your soil. So I've seen silver maples that have had really vibrant scarlet red foliage, and I've seen some that had more yellow or orange. But yeah, Hocking Hills, that's going to be the big touristy spot with fall foliage season. Actually, I think it ranks number two in the whole nation. I always forget, but it's either the New England, New Jersey Falls, there on the east coast of the U.S., they're ranked number one.
Not surprisingly. Yeah, I don't believe I've had that bright red color. I do have burning bush.
Oh, yeah.
Those are controversial because they're invasive.
They are.
But I think in a good way because they're not crazy invasive like a lot of your, you know, weeds. And weed is a tricky term because it's only a weed if you don't like it.
That's true.
You know, dandelions are weeds, but you can eat them. And they are attractive.
They're
just a bit invasive, so don't want to get your neighbor upset by share and share alike, so to speak, with those kinds of plants. But with the burning bush, you just have to trim them. You know, I got the electric hedge trimmer. Just go out there a couple times a year and cut them down.
Yeah.
And you don't have to bag the sticks and the leaves. You can just let them sit in the soil. And when you mow also, you can mulch them into the lawn.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they are attractive, and they get beautiful.
Oh, they are.
For a few weeks, and that's looks like they're burning. That's why they're called burning bush.
Yeah.
So even these invasive plants, James, like the burning bush, I guess it's how you interpret them. And maybe your neighbor doesn't want them, but as long as you're careful, they're not going to invade the whole neighborhood.
Well, it depends.
Yeah, I mean, like a lot of, and same thing with dandelions, because you don't hear people growing, you know, just having a dandelion garden, because you can eat them, you can eat the greens, you can buy them in the store, so there's money in them.
Yeah.
I mean, there could be. They are weeds because they grow so easily.
Well, the birds are the ones to thank for the dispersal because some of them will produce these wonderful little berries where you think, oh, it's providing food. Well, it's like candy, I tell the kids. You might like candy, right? But is candy really good for you? Like, if that's all you eat? I'm like, well, no.
Yeah. So there are multiple things that can happen, like cross-pollination. Like, I have a pear tree and my neighbor has one, so they pollinate each other.
Yeah.
And it's you just don't realize it, but this tree has grown, I mean, a lot like a weed.
So yes, and depends on the certain area they are. Sometimes they will overtake it in other areas I've seen, and you may see one or two. So it always just depends on what's the growing conditions.
So even the invasive nature, that can vary.
Yeah.
That isn't a cut-and-dry situation either.
Yeah. Like bush honeysuckle, I will admit, we have all 12 miles of it at Tallcrest Trail. And I've been to other parks where I've only seen one or two. So I just all think it has to do what type of growing conditions or environment that they're in.
Yeah, it's location.
Yeah,
like real estate.
Yeah, but, very true.
Are you a burning bush fan? If you were to come to my home, and it doesn't have the greatest landscaping in the world, but... that's part of the charm. It has a bit of a jungle look in the back, as I say, but I try to keep it neat while still enjoying the natural plants in this area. If you were to go to my house, you would see this burning bush, and it's just a one story. I mean, it's very obvious.
Yeah.
Would you kind of like it or say, well, Adam's just being too invasive with his plant, or he's got a nice looking landscape there in the front?
I mean, I would say it's very beautiful, very vibrant, but being as a naturalist, I've said, well, you know, maybe a wahoo, which is the native variety. That was, well, maybe let's introduce that one into your property.
Right.
Okay. I'm all about natives. I'm old man. I'm a native guy.
For sure.
But yes, they're beautiful plants. Don't get me wrong.
Talking to James Anderson, our official naturalist of Marion County and environs. He is cool enough, kind enough, and gracious enough to join us about once a month to talk about flora and fauna. And again, if you have a question, comment, concern, complaint, that's fine. Give us a ring. We'd love to hear from you. 740-383-WWGH. Adam Lepp here on your listening device. Now, you brought a show-and-tell project. No one is too old for show-and-tell, including yourself.
That's right.
I can imagine your son has some of the best show-and-tells of any of his classmates.
Oh,
they must all be jealous.
Well, it's funny you've mentioned that. He actually got to meet Fran DeWine last Monday. She came out to Marion Tallgrass Trail.
Yeah, I think I saw
with the book walk. Yeah, we have a permanent book walk structure, and we read the whole book. It starts at the trailhead and then ends right by her road, so it's only about a mile walk. But the whole way, he talked and talked and talked, and the funniest thing, he said, Mrs. DeWine, he said, do you know where butterflies got their name from? And she said, no. It's because their poop looks like butter. And she said, oh, my. And she let Diane Watson, which is our Park Board member, she said, I received a good education from the children.
Yep, well, that's you're never too old to learn.
That's right.
When you stop learning, isn't a good thing, let's put it that way.
Yeah,
you wake
yeah.
up every day as a learning experience. So you brought a show-and-tell item, James.
I did.
You know, I just had lunch. I just had lunch, but I'm probably going to be hungry in a little bit. So why don't you tell us more about your show-and-tell items?
Yes, so pawpaw, Asmanian triloba is the scientific name, and it's what's really cool about, well, a lot of neat, cool things about this plant. It is edible, and the fruit is the time to pick them right now, because I know Adam was asking me before we went on air, it's like, can you find them, can you eat them, and yeah, you can eat them raw, or anything that calls for a banana, you can substitute it with the pawpaw plant. So you can make pancakes, you can make waffles, make cookies. They just had the pawpaw festival in southern Ohio, just south of Athens, and they are famous down there for pawpaw beer. I'll admit, it's a very interesting taste to it, but it's like the Budweiser mugs, you know, how they came with the different designs. Every year, the pawpaw festival comes up with a new design, so if you're into that kind of collection, always say, hey, go check it out.
It's just kind of mysterious. You said that you had a friend who had the right conditions of the soil here, as you know, is a lot of clay, and that's my yard, certainly. The clay isn't too good. You want the more moist, swampy soil. So certain parts of this area are conducive to it, but you can't go to Kroger or even Whole Foods or Aldi or one of the more alternative groceries and buy it.
No,
you really
cannot.
You have to have a friend.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, are these things valuable? It seems like you can really grow them. I mean, is that, you know, how much is that worth? I mean,
so
I go out and, you know, take bids on it.
Some people I have read online was selling $20 a pound. And the reason why you won't find them in stores is they ripen 10 times faster than bananas. And so, you know, when you buy a pack of bananas, they last about a week, you know, on average, right? Well, a pawpaw, depending on weather, you know, we were talking about earlier, if it's really warm, you may only have a day. And sometimes maybe 3 days, if you're lucky.
So how big is the pit? It looks, I mean, it almost looks like an avocado.
Yeah, well,
an avocado is kind of what it looks like.
Yeah, actually, a lot of people, and back in the a papaya. So, but no, if I were to split it open, you'll notice that the yellowy part, that's the mush or the pulp. That's what you can eat. Now, the seeds are about nickel size. Now, you can't eat the seeds. Now, you can eat the skin, but I tell people don't eat a lot of it because, it leaves a bitter taste. And the second thing is if you actually eat too much, it can make you sick. And I've also found out, too, if you say you pick them too early and try to eat them, if they're still pretty hard, they actually have chemical compounds that give you migraine headaches. And so to find out what's when it's ready to eat, you ever shop from an avocado or peach before? Okay.
Yeah, you don't want the piece to fall apart when you try to squeeze.
Yeah, so when you kind of squeeze the sides and you can kind of feel a dent, all right, that's a great indicator it's ready to eat. And then if you smell it, it has a really tropical smell, that's the other great indicator. Some people say, if you notice all these purple splotches, but I don't go by that because I've seen some that are completely green and ready to eat, and I've seen some almost completely purple, and we're not ready to eat. And now sizes can be very, they can be about the size of $0.50 to bigger than your palm of your hand. So they can range in all sizes. So I brought you a little small one today.
So I have a couple. I have to go to the Ashland area next, and I go south. If I eat it like 8, 9 o'clock this evening, it will not have gone bad.
If it got really warm, it may, but I've had it in the fridge, so as long as you take it by today, you should be fine.
And so I shouldn't eat the skin.
Don't eat the skin.
I peel it like a carrot? Or?
So it depends on how ripe they are.
My mom always said the skin of the potato was the best part, and I agree with that.
Yeah,
I like
it.
And, you know, you can eat a whole watermelon. The skin the skin. I mean, it'll make you go to the bathroom, but it won't hurt you, and it is nutritious. We used to make necklaces out of the watermelon seed. You probably did that.
Yeah.
But I mean, with this, you're saying there, you shouldn't eat the seed, you shouldn't eat the pit, and you shouldn't eat the green skin. You can eat the middle,
yeah,
which is tricky versus other fruits where, you know, the apple, I swallow the apple pits because they're small, except for the stem. You can eat the whole thing, and I normally do, and you can see it hasn't killed me.
Yeah, now this actually doesn't have a pit like an apple. It just has the seeds and it just has the pulp all inside.
So you just, my idea of taking a carrot peeler and then just cutting it, and put it on a plate and just eat it.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Yeah, what I recommend, if you either split it or get a knife and then just kind of basically almost in a way like suck on the pulp. Now, if you get the seeds, just suck on the pulp off of the seed and then spit the seeds out.
So just getting a bit of a seed won't hurt you, but it's not tasty.
They're big. I mean, you don't want to swallow them.
And the skin, it won't kill you, but it isn't really the edible part.
Yeah, right? It'll leave a bitter
so
taste.
Like, almost like a lemon. Although, I mean, I've eaten
lemons. In a way, yeah.
But you would suck on the the fruity part.
Same concept, yeah.
Okay. And if I like this fruit, pretty much tough noogies, as my mama used to say, because I really can't grow it at my house. I can't go to Whole Foods or Kroger.
No.
I'd have to just hopefully become friends with your friend.
Maybe
he would be kind enough to sell me a couple for...
Yeah,
$10.
Or maybe next year I'll bring you a pillowcase full.
And you don't see people like, if I go to that area, which is just east of here, Mount Gilead area.
Yeah.
Will people sell them at the roadside where they might sell their?
I haven't seen any, but I would imagine maybe someone wants to make some money. Maybe.
Yeah, it's just odd that you can't even go to a local grocery store.
Yeah.
Because I mean, the Whole Foods, they have fruits I never even heard of before. And, you know, even a big Kroger has about 20 kinds of lettuce.
Yeah.
It's like, and I mean, this is a native fruit you can't even buy. And they're a company based in Cincinnati. I mean, they're a local company, Giant Eagle, based in Pittsburgh.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
I mean, we have these grocers based in regional parts of central and mid-Ohio, but they won't even sell this. And even Whole Foods, which... when they have all kinds of exotics.
A farmer's market would probably be the closest place you would be able to buy them.
You've not seen it, though, at the farmer's markets in Marion.
No, not at Marion. No,
it's fascinating.
In Athens County, I did.
Yeah, that you... Okay, well, that's fine. I can go to Athens. If I, you know... Kind of like when people move from Columbus or Ohio, they have cravings for White Castles. And they're known, you know, to take a road trip to the nearest White Castle or order them.
Yeah.
You know, people do that, and it's like, but I get a craving for it.
I know, I miss the White Castles.
I can be an obsessive person, so I'm kind of wondering, hey, will I like eating it?
I will tell you, if you're a person that is not big on textures, because it is kind of slimy kind of feeling, and some people I know are really sensitive to that. I said this, you may not like it, but...
Avocados are kind of slimy.
Well, they're slimier than avocados.
I love guacamole, and it's avocado is very good for you.
Yeah.
It's very healthy. Maybe that's why I'm healthy.
Yeah.
Always get extra guac with my Mexican food, which I eat a lot.
Well, while you're talking about that, these pawpaws actually have a lot of those good fats, like avocados.
Yeah.
They actually have a lot of phosphorus, potassium, like bananas, magnesium, sulfur. They actually have more vitamin A, B, and C than apples, oranges, and grapes.
So they are healthy without a lot of calories.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're healthy calories.
Yeah, and they have a lot of antioxidants, more than blueberries.
I'll try it, and hopefully... Hopefully I'll enjoy it and be fine. I mean, I eat a lot of exotic food, James.
But yeah.
I love squid. Kiwi, all these exotic fruits, I'll eat them. And, you know, I won't eat peanut butter, even though I like peanuts. So I'm a little odd that way. But
it tastes like banana or a mango, I tell people.
I
that's
love
the
mangoes.
That's the taste.
You
it kind of mixture.
You can make a smoothie out of that.
Yeah, you could.
Because it already has the texture.
Yeah.
Make a pawpaw smoothie. That'll be
$48,
sir, for a small.
Yeah. But my wife and I, we make a lot of pawpaw cookies. And I did it for my pawpaw program that I did on Tuesday and Sunday. And we made chocolate chip and oatmeal chocolate chip pawpaw cookies.
It's fascinating.
Oh,
so,
it is.
Yes, never quite know what would be a native plant or creature besides Homo sapiens in this fair part of the great United States of America, as they call it. And yes, I will try the pawpaw, and I'm sure I'll like it. I'm already getting pawpaw cravings, but I'll save it, because I ate earlier.
Okay.
At Sheets.
Well, let me know, and let me know how you liked it.
Okay. You also brought a leaf.
I brought the pawpaw plants.
They're football-shaped.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and they, again, look a little bit like a banana leaf. Is biologically, is it kind of similar to a banana? What's biologically is the pawpaw closest to?
It's actually papayas. Sure. They're more closely related.
So it sounds like a papaya, so the name is similar.
Yeah.
Yeah, try a papaya, they say.
Yes.
I'll try a pawpaw.
But one way to identify this plant, and here I'm going to grab the leaf, and I want you to crush it and then smell it.
It's papery. It feels
It's dried. It's been dry since Tuesday. But does it smell kind of green, peppery kind of smell?
A little minty, yeah.
Yeah. So there's chemical...
spicy minty. Yeah. I like, yeah.
So there's chemical compounds in it.
It's kind of
That repel against insects. And it also has it in the skin. So that's why I tell people, again, that's why you really don't want to eat the skin. Now, if you look, and if you ever look and feel the terminal bud, and terminal bud, this would have been next year's leaf. All trees have it. There's a woman in southern Ohio that uses it to do paintings, do drawings with. So
that's kind of like on the Flintstones, where they used animal parts and plants.
Yeah.
You know, like the elephant would use his trunk for the car wash.
Yeah.
So similar to that.
Well, and the Native American, and I'm about to do it for you, the bark is actually very flexible and very strong. They used to make a lot of nets, fishing nets, moccasins, all kinds of things. Now, the seeds that we were talking about earlier, they used to crush it up, and they used to put in their hair to get rid of lice and ticks.
They would call those papaucasins, right?
Papaucasins, yeah.
I had to say that before I forgot my wisecrack.
Yeah. So there was a lot of usage for the plant. Also, too, when they broke open the fruit, it has a really yellow color. They would put it on their cloth, especially if it was a white cloth, to make a yellow dye.
Fascinating. Amazing how people from many years ago were so innovative and creative.
Oh, yeah.
And nowadays, you know, unless you can find an app for it or something in the iPhone app store, people are kind of clueless. It's just a shame.
Seems like
I think
it.
We need to be more innovative, more creative, and use nature.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
Nature's our friend.
Absolutely.
You had some other programs, James, before I started hogging the mic.
No, you're fine.
Tell us about some of the stuff that might be going on.
Yeah, so I'll kind of go through my list. We'll have one more pawpaw program for the year. That'll be on October 5th at 5 o'clock p.m., and that'll be at the Teradice Nature Preserve, which is our park outside of the Village of Caledonia. On October 14th at 9 o'clock p.m. is our night hike at the park. That'll be at the Tallgrass Trail, the trailhead. So those are the last one for the year, so please bring a red flashlight or a headlamp. We do some nighttime experiments. On the 15th, we'll be at Marion Technical College from 11 to 2 for the big tent event. I will be offering a free fishing for their event. And we'll have bait, we'll have poles. Unless you want to bring your own, that's fine. On the 18th at 5 o'clock, we have the Wild World of Woolly Bear Caterpillars at Tallgrass Trail. So we're going to learn about our little fuzzy insect friends and talk about their ecology, and then go out and try to find them along the trail. Then the last Marion Third Thursday downtown, that will be on the 20th from 4 to 7. And then Trail of Treats, which is our big trick-or-treat event. That's October 23rd from 3 to 5. And we're looking for participants, volunteers to help pass out candy, things like that. It's a really great time. You dress up, you get candy. Can't beat that. So again, that's October 23rd to 3 to 5. On the 25th at 5 o'clock p.m. is our spectacular spider program at Marion Tallgrass Trail. So we're going to learn about some of the spiders that call Marion County home. And then we'll be back with you on the 27th. And then also on the 27th is the downtown Marion Farmers Market. I believe the last one for the year as well, from 4 to 7 p.m.
If I find that I like the pawpaw, will you please ask, I'm sure you have friends at the farmers market, ask if someone can sell pawpaws or try to drag your pawpaw farmer over there. Because what's going to happen, James, I'm going to eat this, I'm going to say, this is just really cool, I can talk about it, tell my friends about it, brag about it, of course post it on Twitter. God forbid I wouldn't post it on social media and get a craving and say, boy, that was good and really healthy.
Yeah.
My skin looks good. I mean, just it's healthy and my workout's going well. So if I do get a craving because I find myself to be a pawpaholic, I'll let you know.
Well, I don't know if you watched all my social media. I had half of my fridge full of pawpaw fruits because I was preparing for Sunday and for Tuesday's program. Oh, we got a call.
Yes, let me go ahead and see if I can get the equipment to work. Good afternoon. You're on with James and Adam.
Hello.
Hi, how are you today, sir?
Hello.
Is this Gus?
No, this is Adam with James. Did you want to be on the air and talk about nature?
Yeah, I apologize. Okay, I was trying to get a hold of Scotty.
Okay, that's it. You can send him an email, scott@wwgh1071.com.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Sure, have a great day. Thanks.
I think that was Ted.
Possibly.
Yeah.
But either way, it's nice when Scott is so popular, the interviewer to the stars, that he gets calls even when I'm on the air.
Well, he's just famous that
way. He's just important, I guess, and I guess I'm privileged to know the guy.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you being friends with Grizzly Adams, Jack Hanna. You probably know Jack Hanna.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
A few others. Of course, Jim Fowler recently passed away, was a good friend to this station. Scott met him in New York City. I do have his autograph. But you have met Jack Hanna.
I have met him at one time when I was in college. He was actually in the food court. He was actually serving food. And it was funny because he was in the pizza one, and I didn't want pizza, but I said, man, Jack Hanna's there. I'm going to get a pizza. And I was this close telling my friend, I said, should I have Jack Hanna use his finger and wrote an autograph? He said, don't be weird, James. And I didn't.
And he wore his cargo shirt, of course.
He did. But I just thought it was cool that he decided to be in the food court and serve food. I just, I thought it was cool that he took the time to do that.
It's fascinating, too. Any of the food, would it have been, made from some of the animals at the zoo? you might have had hamburger.
Could have been elephant, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't, I was just, how do I ask that without sounding weird?
I should have asked him that.
Yeah, that would have been a fascinating question. Yeah, you never quite know, but
yep.
That's kind of why I asked, because little old me here doing my show with our official naturalist, and Scott, of course, the person that everybody associates the station with, but why not? He and Phil Donahue are close personal friends.
They're BFFs.
He has guests, local dignitaries, people running for office, and TV judges. Judge Joe Brown was on earlier.
That's right.
Doug Llewellyn, one of my favorite interviews. He was on. Dick Cavett is on regularly. And last but not least, Sam Donaldson even called Scott on his milestone birthday about a year and a half ago and wished him a happy one. So you never quite know.
Yeah.
So when I have my milestone birthday in a year and a half, maybe somebody important will call me on the air and wish me a happy one. You never quite know.
Well, there
That's
you go.
That's all part of the fun of being a broadcaster. But again, we are taking your phone call, 740-383-WWGH. Adam here with James Anderson, our official naturalist. So is that pretty much cover what we have going on in October?
Yes, yes.
And if people have questions, comments, suggestions, because I would imagine suggestions are part of your game, what people want to see.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure you have events that don't go as well as others.
Oh, yes.
How can they get in touch? I don't want them to just text you directly. Should they email or fill out a form on a website?
So probably the easiest way, if they have social media, so like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We just joined the Twitter world. Also, too, we do have our park office number at the county building, which is 740-223-4161, and they can call the office, and then we can get a hold of them that way.
So many ways to get in touch.
Yeah.
And we encourage people to take advantage of what the park district offers, even if you're not right in the Marion area, and we're proud of what we have. And if you don't mind driving a little bit, it's well worth it. And I just know, being friends with James, he doesn't mind questions. Really, no question bothers him. If he doesn't know the answer, he almost always does, but if he doesn't, he will find the answer.
I try.
And when we do that, we all learn. And you might even get to get a special present, get a special pawpaw or other delicacy to enjoy and nutrify thyself. I guess that's part of the privilege of being here on the air and talking about all this cool stuff. Some of the programs you have, James, that may not have gone quite as well, can you maybe talk? I don't want to sound too negative.
No, you're right.
Every time you give a presentation or a tour, you never quite know what the reaction and popularity will be. Were there any, even since you've worked there, and you said 6 years, that just didn't go quite as well, and you decided to discontinue or maybe change?
Yeah, I would probably say, especially the ones that are other locations, so Teradise, Greensboro, Myers Woods, I typically don't get a lot of people, and I still offer it because, don't get me wrong, I love Tallgrass Trail, I'm all about Tallgrass Trail because, that's my main park, but I want to tell people, hey, we have these other parks in the county, you know, sprawled around the county. You know, you please check them out. And the only way I know to do that is having these other programs. And depending on the time of year and what program I'm doing, some of them are really popular and we get a bunch of people, but I will man for a good chunk. Usually we either get one or none. So
yeah, it just kind of depends. And
yeah,
many times people don't really give a particular event a chance. Some just might sound more interesting.
Yeah.
But you learn something. Stimulate the brain and try something a little different than what you might have done in the past.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's in tune? You know, time flies. So what's coming up? What's in tune? I guess that's the right expression for 2023. Any things up your sleeve maybe for late winter, you know, after St. Patrick's Day when people get spring fever? And for the spring, anything to look forward to mark your calendar for?
I say probably still keep an eye out for our major family fun events. We always do our winter hike series in that time frame, and hopefully to continue Trail of Treats and our paleontology in the park, which is our dinosaur event. I don't know, maybe add another event or so. So I've always wanted to try, always want to try some different new things to get people out into the park. So I'm excited about Trail of Treats because we haven't done that since 2019, so because of COVID and all. So we're excited / nervous getting people back out for that. And that's our largest event because 2018 we had over 1,200 people. In 2019 we had over 300. It rained that day. So that kind of gives you a perspective that people want to come out and get their candy. So
I'd almost think that rain or snow, except for a drizzle, it's probably worse than it being too hot or too cold. Because yeah, I get the umbrella. I mean, you get your shoes wet.
Yeah.
You don't mind the temperatures because you know in Ohio it's anywhere from, you know, 0 to 90 sometimes in the course of a couple of weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
But I guess precipitation and maybe wind also.
Oh yeah.
You can't hear as well, and the wind blows things around.
Yeah. I remember doing a frog program this spring, and it was extremely windy, and I almost canceled it. And I'm like, oh, nobody will show. Well, I had 12 people that came out, and we were listening for frogs. And at first, we didn't listen and didn't hear any, but luckily, the wind died down just enough, and we heard like 3 frogs that whole program. So it was worth it.
Yep, worth it to see Kermit.
Yeah, that's right.
The frogs, there are the poisonous ones, but in general, frogs are pretty tame. And
yeah.
They don't really mind if you pick them up or look at them. Just don't go crazy.
Yeah. It's not easy being green.
Yeah, yeah, and they are cute, and they're fairly intelligent, I think, more than a lot of the animals you might find around here. But as we talked about, owls not as smart as they look. Hawks and vultures quite smart.
Yeah.
So you can't always tell just by the particular family that the animal belongs to. In fact, many are probably smarter than a lot of Homo sapiens.
So, I can see that, yeah.
Never quite know. Yeah, got about 2.5 minutes left with James Anderson. Still time to get a telephone call here in a special, 1:15 to 2 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time presentation of the Adam the Computer Guy early afternoon coffee break radio broadcasting extravaganza. We do thank James Anderson again for being with us in the about 135 seconds we have left. James, anything for the holidays, for Thanksgiving, for Christmas?
I will admit after
the park district.
Yeah, I will admit after October. I mean, we still offer programs, but it does start to quiet down. But I do a lot of programs in a lot of the nursing homes, usually starting in November. So I go out to there and start, talking to the seniors and trying to get them. I know a lot of them can't get out in nature, but I bring nature to them.
So you can do things inside, inside presentations.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great because, again, you're never too old to learn. And
that's
I also
right.
would believe that if you are receiving continual care, you need to learn about the world, not just turn the news on, not just look at your favorite website or social media feed on your phone or tablet, but to hear a person talk about something and bring items with him or her.
Yeah.
Just the way that you come in here, James, and bring us the pawpaw leaf
and
the pawpaw fruit. So it's good to interact with somebody who is out and about in nature all the time. And again, doesn't matter if you're 2 or 102, you're never too old or too young to learn.
Absolutely.
Everybody needs to, and I think we need to appreciate all the wildlife that we have the pleasure and privilege of sharing the great Mid-Ohio area with. In about the 45 seconds left, James, remind us again how to be in touch and follow the Park District on social media, et cetera. I mean, sure, people bookmark this on their Facebook like I do.
Yeah, so go on Marion Tallgrass Trail, Marion County Park District Facebook page, also the Instagram account, the Twitter account, YouTube, and then also to our office phone number, 740-223-4161.
Perfect. Well, we thank you again, James Anderson. He will be with us again the next Thursday of the month of October. Can you believe that?
Oh,
just
boy.
Before Halloween. That should be a fun Halloween special program
there
here
you
on
go.
The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Adam Lepp, thank you very much for listening. If you have ever a question or comment, suggestion, or complaint for me, I'd love to hear from you. Adam at WWGH 107.1.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1.